long summers and long nights. Extremes of sand and snow in A Song of Ice and Fire. Summary. The asynchronous seasons are central to the narrative of The Song of Ice and Fire. Brandt's first chapter begins by pointing out that it is the ninth year of summer. Significantly, scattered throughout the books are mentions of a great summer that never ends. George Martin's world encompasses two extremes of climate, long summers and long winters. This of course relates directly to fire and ice. I propose that magically induced extremes of summer are the underlying cause of seasonal irregularity in the world. Dragons and wildfire symbolize great heat, and I believe both are used as a literary device to demonstrate the effects of global warming on the planet. The others are used to personify the winter extreme. My analysis of the material suggests there was one significant cold period during the Dawn Age, the Pearl Era. There have been two instances of a long winter and long night, the Onyx and Bloodstone eras, in the past, both occurring in response to previous long summers. An examination of geographical features, past and present, suggests the planet has suffered climate change over the millennia. Examples in Essos include the evaporation of the Silver Sea, the Shrinking Sea, the Dry Deep, Grey Waste and Ashai by the Shadow. Global warming accounts for rises in sea level, past and present, resulting in the erosion of coastlines, island formation, as well as side effects such as the poleward migration of tropical species. The gemstone emperors of the dawn provide clues to the seasons over which they presided. The first god emperor's reign was a long summer. Its great length caused a season of winter and darkness in the region known as the Grey Waste. The Pearl Emperor had to grapple with the effects of the icy winter, so close to his domains. Besides having to deal with cold and semi-darkness, he built the five forts to ward off the Lion of Night and his demons, that threatened to engulf his realm. Spring returned with the Jade Era, which was characterized by a surge in green fertility magic, symbolized by wildfire. Garth the Green may have left for Westeros during this period, leading the first men to a pristine continent and taking his knowledge of fertility magic with him. The Tourmaline Era represents a continuation of the Jade Spring. During this very hot summer, the first blood of the dragon, a mother of dragons, was born. The appearance of women with this rare heritage enabled dragon egg hatching on a grand scale. This greatly increased the number of dragons in the world and also served to fuel magic practiced by the wizards and sorcerers of that age. The Onyx Era marked the first long night to affect major regions of the planet. I propose that this first long night was brought to an end by ancestors of the Danes, with their sword of the morning, dawn. Recovery from the first long night was difficult during the Topaz Era. With parallels to Stannis and Melisandre in evidence, the Topaz and Opal eras represent long summers, but also a period of change. The religion of the Red God may have been founded during this time, along with new aspects of fire magic, including a switch from the destructive power of fire to its transformative cleansing properties. The Bloodstone Emperor's motives were contrary to what his legend suggests. His primary goal was to influence the weather and put an end to the dreadful long summers that had plagued the land repeatedly over the centuries. He employed diabolical sorceries to achieve this, killing his sister the Amethyst Empress in the process, and overreaching, causing the second long night. This second instance of the long night ended with the help of the legendary sword Lightbringer. We should heed the Darkstar's words. "My house goes back 10,000 years, unto the dawn of days," he complained. "Why is it that my cousin is the only Dane that anyone remembers?" Darkstar, like the Bloodstone Emperor, can be seen as a sword of the evening, one who ended the long summer. Like most of fandom, characters in the books only pay attention to the heroes who supposedly ended the long night. The victors make history. That unnaturally long summers brought about by the likes of Garth the Green, using warped weather and fertility magic, are the cause of the quirky seasons on planet Earth, is an unfamiliar thought. Indeed, as we have seen, book characters seem to wish for an endless great summer. I can only agree with Lord Commander Mormont. What folly! The Darkstar has every reason to complain that the Sword of the Morning is the only one people remember. Ending the long night of winter was a momentous, heroic feat, but so was ending the unbearably long summer, and that hero also deserves due recognition. Interested in more detail? Check out the accompanying blog post, and feel free to share your thoughts in the comment section below.